So they thought it was over, then it wasn't over, and then they thought it was over again. But the MPL podcast is back for April's edition of this future award-winning show, recorded live on Wednesday the 16th of April at an award-winning establishment. See? That better?
You know what? That's possibly, it's taking you nearly 9 months.
9 months.
But that's possibly the best intro you've done. It can only go downhill from now.
Thank you. Around the table, we're joined by a panel of experts. As soon as they get here, we'll let you know. We've got James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group. Hello, James.
Good evening.
We've got John Flanagan from the Flan Clan, otherwise known as the Curzon Ashton manager. We've got Aaron Flanagan from the Evening News.
Good evening.
And we've got Swamper.
I'm doing the dying fly now. It sounded like you remember. Tiz was the Flan Clan.
So, everyone, welcome to the show.
Good evening, by the way.
Good evening. Well, it was over about, what, a month ago, and then it wasn't over, and now it might possibly be over. Or is it? I'm talking about the league title.
Well, one league title is certainly over and dusted, but we'll be talking about that later.
Yes,
on.
We will.
Is the league title over in the Premier League? Well, I think anyone that knows football would say at this moment in time, no, it's not. You know, a 3 points difference between Chorley and FC United and Manchester. We filed coming up at the back, just behind them. Filed at this moment may well be the dark horse, but equally, you know, FC United, a tough long journey on Saturday. Chorley have to go to Silverlands, the home of Buxton. They've got to go to Whitby this Saturday as well. So this weekend may be the determining factor, you know. I think it's a long trip to go to Whitby, and it's a hard place to get a result at. And Whitby themselves, they're safe, and they'll be playing for pride. And, you know, they'll probably try and do something to a team that not many have done this season. And I think it's still there. I mean, if you were a league manager, if you were a betting person, you'd say, surely you've been there for the vast majority of the season. They've had their blip. They're back to winning ways. You can't really see them losing it. But equal at the same time, those are two very, very tough games for them. And I think it's still all to play for.
James, I think what's done it for the league title, perhaps, is the 13-1 win against Drolsden. Perhaps.
Possibly.
It didn't have changed the fabric of everything, because it meant that pretty much...
The face of football.
Yeah, that changed. Our record's gone now as well. So, but even then, I was still looking at the runnings put on the MPL group the other night. I'm just going to put Works up still there. They're 5 points behind, but they've got the runnings. They've got the easiest one. My opinion.
They've got too many teams out to drop points around them, haven't they, Worksop? It's got to be between Chorley or FC, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's a two-way race for me. It has been for a few weeks as well now, I think. I mean, with it being mathematically possible, I don't think Chorley or FC are going to be in. We're ever going to kind of slip up too significantly. I think it's probably Chorley's now. I think there's too little games left. I mean, it shows how significant of a run FC have been on, and yet just one loss to Buxton has potentially almost ended their hopes.
I mean, John, you've now managed a team this year that's won a league, and the run you went on was just, well, from August really, wasn't it? Other than the blip here and there.
Been a great run, yeah.
Carl Madge's side went 13, 14 games unbeaten in the league. How much effort does that take to motivate your players and keep them motivated to go on a run like that?
Not a lot, really. It looks after itself once you get on a roll. It's a lot easier managing a team winning than it is losing, to be honest. You're always looking to try and tweak something when you're losing. When you're on a run of wins, you tend to, if you get any sense, you leave well alone as much as you can and don't change the side around too much. You know, looking at that Premier Division, and I've watched the... I watched the Chorley and FC game last week, and I watched the FC game last night against Grantham. And my gut feeling is, looking at the two sides, I think, and the fixtures that they've got, I think Chorley's just going to nick it. I think it's going to be just down to maybe...
Can you see them dropping any points in the last three games?
No, I think they'll win them all. My gut feeling says they'll win them all, and then it'll just be a case of... Filed an FC trying to get top spot in the players for the home game. Really.
I mean, the prediction league, because I mean there is a prediction league, and it has Chorley winning that division, FC United finishing second spot, Filed third, Worksop fourth, and Ashton fifth. You know, that's how it's looking from a prediction perspective. I think you're going back. I mean, the game against Chorley was a huge occasion. FC United defensive frailties on an evening where they've been absolutely solid for the vast majority of the run.
It was very shaky.
It was indeed, but to come back and to get the 2-2. I mean, you know, Chorley came away from that game feeling like it was a victory, and FC United equally came away from that game feeling like they'd got something out of it and it was a victory. The letdown for FC really was against Buxton, but I have to say Buxton were tremendous. FC United were flat on the day, but Buxton did what FC United have done to many teams this season. They pressurised them, they put them under. Every time they had the ball, there was two or three Buxton players actually around FC United, and they deserved the victory.
James, you spoke about the running that was, and you alluded that perhaps Worksop Town's running is easier than anyone else's. Just to let people know what their running is. Time of recording Wednesday night, they're playing Marine this very second, which is very exciting. Yeah. So this could be breaking news 2 days ago when you're listening to this. Worksop Town on Saturday are hosting Blyth Spartans. Tough to beat Blyth Spartans.
Yeah, tough to beat.
Ilkeston away is on Bank Holiday Monday for Worksop. And the final game of the season is Worksop Town against Frickley Athletic.
That's what I mean.
So it does look on paper a bit of an easy running for them. Yeah.
I mean, the only thing with Frickley is obviously...
No. Go on, James.
Yeah. Obviously, with Frickley, we'll come to that when it comes to the second part of the show anyway. But other than Blyth, they've got, theoretically, the easiest running altogether, because you never know what team's going to do budget-wise, especially with only Blyth the only one really pushing for the playoffs. Frickley, again, we'll come back to in the second part of the show because of situations in other divisions. But again, this is the time of the year. The clubs might sit back. They know they're safe. They can't go up. They can't go down. I give credit to the fans.
Did we say that Blyth are away to Worksop?
Yes, we did.
It's still a bit of a travel. Even
it is, yeah, but I have to say, this season, of all the teams I've seen FC United play, Blyth are tremendous. And I mean, really good team. Organised, play good football. They've got some great players there. I mean, and I'm talking footballers. I mean, I was really, really impressed with the 1-0 victory for FC United because how good I thought Blyth were. And Blyth next season will be a massive force in this division.
Bear in mind, Swamps, Ramsbottom went up there and won. I think in the FA Cup or the FA Trophy.
They did,
this year. So what a great result that was.
Worksop perhaps are a bit of an outside bet on finishing second this season. They are 6 points behind.
They won't finish second.
But they do have a game of hand in time of recording. AFC Fylde are hosting Blyth Spartans tonight. So Blyth Spartans, key. On Saturday they're hosting Grantham Town at home. Then they've got the tricky away on Bank Holiday Monday of Skelmersdale United against AFC Fylde, and we'll talk about the Dudeson final in a second. And on the last game of the season, AFC Fylde are hosting Kingsland Town. AFC Fylde had that wobble at the turn of the year roughly, and now they've come back into it and are showing this is probably at the start of the season where we'd say they'd be. Can they finish second, Aaron?
I think they can. They've been on a run of form for, as you say, for a couple of months now where, I mean, they look almost unstoppable again. I mean, it's probably been of Fylde's benefit that they've not been in the limelight. I mean, I think near the start of the season, people were saying Fylde, with the money they're reportedly spending, that they're going to be, you know, one of the favourites to win the league. And the fact that kind of they got ruled out of it by Christmas time probably did them a favour for regaining the form. It was the kind of... the attention wasn't on Fylde as much. People weren't looking at Fylde and their results as much, and kind of not having as much pressure on the backs might have done them, you know, a big favour, which has probably contributed to the great run of form they've been on.
John, what do you reckon of AFC Fylde?
Well, if you remember from last month, I think I picked them as sneaking through and pinching it, and I can't see it now.
They nearly did, though, didn't they? Nearly did. Well, I think they drew. I think a couple of days after you said that,
I think it's this game tonight, Blyth's key for them. If they can come away from there with a win, you never know. But they're relying on other people tripping up, aren't they? And my gut feeling is that FC will finish second. I think Chorley will win it, probably by 1 or 2 points. Not a lot in it, and I think FC will finish second. I think it'll pretty much finish as it is now. The places.
I think you're right there. I mean, Fylde, you talk about maybe not that pressure, but I think really I think there's a huge amount of pressure on Fylde. The players, the staff, the statement that was made, the statement of intention.
You should say as well, they have won two trophies this year.
They have indeed, yeah. But the statement of intention was basically to be in the Football League by 2022, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So therefore, there is a statement of intention there, and there's also that means that the players have a pressure on them. They're going to look to get there, you know, I mean, and a Warrington as well. They're looking for 2 years before... before filed to get into the Football League or to get to
another
position
with the others. 2020.
And Salford City, obviously, down there, they're doing the same.
Darlington, probably.
But, I mean, filed are a good team. I mean, we watched them on Sunday in the Dukeson Trophy, and it was, in all fairness, a little bit of a damp squib as a final. It was more like a pre-season friendly, but they rested three or four players. And they've got some talent in that team, you know. I mean, Harry Winter was, for me, he worked well in the middle of the park. He scored the goal. But they've got some quality there. And you can see the fact that, you know, they're there for a reason. But I still believe that they'll finish exactly where they are. I think they'll finish third.
Can I say about Fylde?
Yeah.
They're always strong defensively. Any side that Dave Challoner puts together, he's always got a strong back line.
Yeah.
They don't concede a lot. If you look at the goals against, I think they're equal with Chorley, about 38, something like that.
That's right, yeah, 38,
If you're under 40 goals for a season, particularly a season of 46 games, less than 40 goals, which is less than a goal a game, is Championship winning form. So,
unless, you know, of course, you're waiting Albion for a long time, they had a similar FC United, though, they're running, they've got Stamford away on Saturday. Then they're hosting Ashton United, potentially the last game at Gig Lane for FC United, that one, on Bank Holiday Monday. And Barwell away is the last game of the season. Stamford away and Barwell away, they don't sound nice games.
Well, Barwell are big, strong, robust, and have a style of football that some people will say, well, that's just basically the way they play. Others will say it's not conducive to the way the game should be played. But you've got to go there and play against them. Ashton United, well, Ashton, I was there watching them against Chorley, and they're a handful. Johnson up top, top quality. I mean, not top draw. I mean, top draw. They played against Chorley, and they made Chorley were absolutely run ragged that game, and you know, second half especially. And it's going to be a very, very tough encounter for FC United and Manchester, that one. The game on Saturday. Stamford, it's all about the journey, I think, more than anything, really. It's all about the distance that you've got to travel to get to them. But the one game, I mean, just if you look at all through this division this season, maybe when we play Stafford Rangers at the beginning of the season, game beat.
Yes, it might as well.
That may well
yes.
be the one game out of all the games you would look to this season and go, if we'd won that by three or four, maybe five, as we should have done, well, we'd now be in that top spot.
I think everyone now knows that FC United do really badly up until Christmas.
Don't tell John that they may be in our division next year. I think he might have worked it out.
Hope for a fixture against FC in the early part of the season. That's all I can say. And just to finish off with Charlie. Charlie have got Whitby Town away on Saturday, followed by Charlie Marine at home on Bank Holiday Monday, and they finish with Buxton away.
Well, Buxton's a big
game. Buxton is a big game. But if they've not dropped any points in the meantime, then they're pretty much won the league, haven't they?
Yeah, I said it in the last podcast when, obviously, I've got a million apologies to put out, and that's one of them at the moment. I said if Charlie would drop more points, they wouldn't win the league. Obviously, they played FC at their ground a couple of weeks ago, got the 2-2, which I think has sealed the league for them. But coming back a second with FC United as well, about the Stamford game, that's going to be a tough game for you, because now they're moving out the ground. They're going to be playing.
Isn't it their last game?
They've got two home games left. So obviously they're going to be playing to leave that ground as like a monument to themselves anyway.
And
they're going to be a lot more
Stamper,
up for it.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
Stamper.
Yeah. And Stamper. Yeah. I mean, the one thing that we need to talk about Ashton United here.
Wait a second, young man. Well, don't jump the gun.
I'm not jumping the gun. I'm just, you know, it's what's coming to my own mind.
That's the title running and the race for second place. Obviously, second place is very important because that's home advantage for not just the semi-final and the playoffs, but also the final. However,
if you win it,
of course. However, fifth and sixth is also a battle which is heating up quite nicely. And this Saturday, well, Ashton United against Skelmersdale United. Winner potentially takes all. What do we think?
I think that's going to be the case.
I fancy Ashton, to be honest with you. Just because of the mindset, the two managers, they're strong characters, they're very driven. They've got them up there when nobody expected them to be able to do it. You know, we're not a big budget. They've just got everybody, got real, very honest lads who really dig in. And great credit to them. You know, Paul Phillips and Steve Alford, they've done a great job with that bunch of lads. You know, they've got some very solid players who you can rely on, particularly in a tough Monday night or a Wednesday night in January. And I've got a feeling Skemmer obviously will get it down. The pitch at Ashton last time I saw it, it looked all right, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, we've been there a few weeks ago, and it's a football pitch.
If they've got any sense, they'll train on it the night before or two nights before, and they'll leave it as it is. They'll do nothing with it.
I have heard a rumour that there's a local donkey sanctuary that are actually taking advantage of it for about a week beforehand.
So they can get the fair on there. for a couple of days.
Bring me over for a pint,
because Skem will try and pass it, and they can play. There's no doubt about that. But you know, if they can just turn everything to their advantage, I think they can squeeze it.
I mean, Ashton can play football as well. Let's not forget. I mean, they're not in fifth spot.
The problem with Ashton is though they're running. The last three games are pretty well. Let me read the list. Ashton United are hosting Skem this Saturday. Then they've got FC United away on Bank Holiday Monday, and they finish off with Witton Albion at home.
Well, they could
shocking away from home, though, aren't they?
Yes.
Four out of 21.
By Saturday, they could be 6 points clear. Yes. That's two games.
We do have an interview with Neil from Skelmersdale United coming up, which is recorded a couple of weeks ago, where the wind was turning a bit for the Skelmers season.
It was turning against FC United and Manchester. Yeah, that's true. God, it was
just
windy that night.
Just to finish off this bit, then Ashton United, Skelmersdale United v Ashton United is on Saturday. Then Skem on Bank Holiday Monday are hosting AFC Fylde, and then they finish off with Stocksbridge Park Steels away. So I think that's the top of the table done and dusted, chaps. I don't know. Yeah. Is there anything else to add?
Yeah.
Just one thing. I'm still astounded by the number of goals Worksop have conceded.
It's incredible, isn't it?
It's outside of the bottom three.
Nobody else
has conceded against that many. There's only the bottom three conceded more.
And that's why I don't think.
Got to be some entertaining football going on there.
That's why every team's got an option. Every team's got a chance when you play Worksop Town. You know, and you compare it to last season, it was totally different. You know, I mean, they've scored 115. So he's entertained. It's like, you know, over 200 goals been scored. Watching.
If I was here, it'd say goals will win games.
Well, if you're a Worksop Town fan listening in, what would you prefer? The boring, bland football you're playing last year, or 115 goals this season? Get in touch.
They never tell me my dad played for them.
You get plenty of points.
Barnsley, FA Cup, fifth round.
And Kendall Town. Anyway, that's the end of part one of the MPL show. Up next, an interview with Skelmersdale United. And then after that, we're going to talk about awards. So stick around.
So welcome to the West Lancashire College Stadium in Skelmersdale. I'm joined by a very special guest. Would you like to introduce yourself?
My name's Neil Leatherbarrow. I'm the press and media man for Skelmersdale United.
And
I am a director of the club, but that's only can have a say in what's going on a little bit.
Now, we're recording this in late March, so when this goes out, FC United will pretty much already won the league. But how's the season gone so far? Because for a long time, this is at time of recording, it's the first time you've been out of the top two since October.
The season itself has exceeded expectations, I think it's fair to say. We've had a spell at the top, we've had a spell in second place. We've got off to a good start to the season. I think a little bit of the injuries and knocks and bits and pieces have caught up with us a little bit. We haven't got the biggest budget because we haven't got the biggest gates around, as simple as that. And it's allowed the bigger clubs to catch up with us. A few
pundits around the table at the MPL show were tipping you a lot at the start of the season because of the way you performed last season in your promotion push, and they felt like you did have it in you. And for a long time, and you still have got it in you, I reckon. But are you still on for promotion, do you think, this year?
It's going to be via the playoffs now. I think it's fair to say we're unlikely to win the championship outright, although Chorley keeps slipping up. Others would have to as well. And let's be honest, works on yourselves and file don't really look like doing that at the moment.
There's still time. Don't jinx us.
There is
still, because you're recording it doesn't mean you can jinx us like that.
There is still time. I know what you mean.
But there's also a cup final as well in the Duton, which we're all looking forward to
at Stockport on the 13th of April.
Yes,
3 o'clock kickoff if this goes out in time for that, but I don't know.
Well,
as it will.
We're covering it for the league, so
it'll be a good game because all the games are when we play Fylde.
Yes.
Don't know what we'll do because Fylde have a good record down here at Skem and we have a marvellous record at Fylde. So we'll both be away, but neither of us will be at home. So I don't know what's going to work out there.
But that'll be a good season, won't it? Playoffs and a cup final.
Oh, without doubt. When we set off, I mean, Tommy lost, but I think it was 5 or 6 players from that starting lineup from last season, and it made a difference. Gradually they're coming back, actually. I mean, Mark Jackson's returned from Lancaster, and Adam Morning left for a bit and got homesick and came back again. They all went off elsewhere. There is another player that may be back by the time you record this, but I don't think it's fair for me to couch his name. That I know has been talking to Tommy as on today. Skelmersdale, you've got to remember where Skelmersdale's come from.
Yes.
10, 12, 15 years ago, they were doing well to have 15, 20, 25, 30 people on the home games. They fell a long way from the days of Wembley in 67 and 71. And it's taken a long time to build it back up. And there's some people here at this club that's really been responsible for that. And the directors and everybody's involved with the club, and the people at the club have worked very, very hard to get it back where it is. I suppose in many ways I'm an incomer coming in doing the press and media, but I was brought in by the previous chairman, and I love the involvement in non-league football, and yes. That's where I've got involved, and it's great. And I've managed myself at a reasonable level, and Tommy Lawson's known me a long time, and we'll go back with Tommy a bit, and it's fun at Skelmersdale, and I think that is why players come to Skelmersdale.
What's the ultimate aim of Skelmersdale United, like in the next 5 years or so? Is it just to be a good club, or is it to go a bit further, do a file perhaps? Or?
I think the infrastructure of the club needs strengthening up for us to go too much higher. I do believe, having operated when I was in my days with another club that they don't like mentioning down here at Skelmersdale.
Yes. I could say it.
I do believe that we could operate and survive on a competitive level in the Conference North. We'd have to spend a heck of a lot of money to get into the Conference Premier, yeah. And at the moment I don't think the support base is there to continue it. But one thing Skelmersdale have done, they've done all this without going into debt.
Yes.
And I think that is important. The infrastructure of the club does need strengthening to raise more money. I think anybody will tell you that. We're lucky we've got a manager like Tommy Lawson. Tommy has his business round the corner from the ground. He lives in a village 3 miles outside Skelmersdale.
It's a perfect marriage.
It is in many respects. He is Mr. Skelmersdale, isn't he? I mean, everybody knows him as that. Everybody automatically, you mentioned Tommy Lawson, you think Skelmersdale United. And what Tommy's engendered is a club where everybody enjoys it.
Yes.
From top to bottom. And I think that's possibly the big secret of Skelmersdale and why players come.
Well, Neil, good luck for the Duton. We'll be there covering it, and we'll probably play this interview beforehand. But I hope you finish second to FC finishing first. And we'll see you next season in the Conference North.
We hopefully will, and thanks very much.
If not, we'll most... I'm saying all this, most likely we'll see you next season in the Euro Stick.
We'll nice see, Ben. All the best. Thanks, cheers, Ben.
Welcome back to the MPL show here live, recorded live on Wednesday the 16th of April at the Magnet here in Stockport. Round the table, we've got all the usual faces. We've got Swampy from FCM Radio.
Evening.
We've got Aaron Flanagan from the Evening News.
Hello.
We've got John Flanagan, the manager at Curzon Ashton.
Excuse me.
Good evening.
Come on. Who else have we got? What's your name?
I'm Holly.
And what are you doing here, Holly, tonight?
I'm working at the Magnet.
Fantastic. Carry on, well done.
Brilliant. And we've got James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group.
Good evening.
Right, this part of the show we're going to dedicate to the MPL awards. However, just before that, we should mention the relegation situation because it's looking pretty grim for Frickley Athletic. Or is it, James?
Obviously, with what's happening with Vauxhall Motors, there is potentially a reprieval spot. So, just mention quickly what's happening. Frickley are, out of the three divisions, the team that finished with the most points per game average, so all three teams on 24 points, stays up, effectively. As it stands, Frickley are on 45, the team in the Southern League in the same spot are on 44, and the team in the Isthmian League are on 41. So
right, so there you go. Anyway, that's relegation covered.
Whoa, you can't just do it like that.
Why? The...
Come on, Frickley.
Anyway, do you know anything about the Isthmian League?
The Isthmian League?
Isthmian?
The Isthmian League.
Yes? No?
Yes.
Good.
There's Dave Waters.
There's Dave Waters. <Waters. laughs> Right, yes. So... the Premier Division Player of the Year was awarded to a certain gentleman called Liam Metton. And I think a lot of us agreed with Liam Metton, didn't we?
Yes.
Other than you, Swampy, was going about Tom Greaves. Good.
Well.
And Young Player of the Year went to a certain gentleman on his way to Fleetwood Town at the end of the season from Skelmersdale United, Matty Hughes. Now, I'd like to mention about Matty Hughes at Skelmersdale United. Fort Swampy, you've seen him in action.
Well, I mean, you don't get a pro contract unless you've got a bit of talent about you. And there's a few players at this moment in time that Fleetwood Town, I mean, and it's nice to see a football club. We talk about it a lot in semi-professional football. And I know, you know, Joe Royal hit on it as well, and he was dead right. Sometimes you've got to take a gamble because, you know, these players are worth looking at. And Fleetwood, fair play to them. They've taken on a few players this season for next season. You know, but what the nice thing they've done is they've loaned them players back so they can continue playing for their respective clubs, but equally they get the chance to actually train full time. So those clubs at the moment, like FC United, like Skelmersdale United, have the benefit of actually having players that are fitter, showing a bit more quality. Although you wouldn't have never thought about Tom Davies when he missed that basic header from the throw-in, as Aaron said earlier on.
That's true.
And no, it's good to see good quality players, young lads. And, you know, there's so much talent in semi-professional football, and certainly within the Northern Premier.
How was Joe? Because he was very complimentary towards the MPL, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was really friendly. He was obviously, he's got his son who played for Ashton United for quite a while. And so he's had a relatively... he's been following non-league for a relatively long time. Although he probably doesn't watch Northern Premier League regularly. He knew a lot about a lot of clubs, that's what came across to me. And one thing he did say that strikes me was that he thinks that more pro clubs should be looking in non-league, you know, for the talent, for the players. And it's something I completely agree with, and I'm sure my dad does as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen numerous lads that have warranted a chance over a number of years. I mean, Jamie Vardy's the obvious one. I saw him at Stocksbridge when I was at Mosley. We played against Stocksbridge in, I think it was the trophy or something like that, and he beat us on his own, to be fair. And I even at the point I said, why isn't a league club taking a chance on this lad? Because it's no risk. The amount of money it costs to bring him in for an 18-month contract or whatever it is, you know, it's minimal, and it's really short-sighted of pro clubs not to be looking, because the lad was clearly a talent, you know, and there's numerous more.
Oh, there is.
The league has kindly created a shopping list for the management. You can get a good goalkeeper called Ben Hinchcliffe from AFC Fylde. You can get a right back called Kenny Strickland from Skelmersdale United.
Great choice.
By the way, chip in whenever you think anyone's worthy of comment. Left back,
he was the best player in the cup final. You know, although forget his headband, he's a top quality player.
Are you surprised with Hinchcliffe and not Sam Ashton?
No, not really. No.
Okay,
not even Sunday. No,
fair enough. Adam Mather of Charlie for left back.
Keep going.
Centre back, Andrew Teague. And of course, big fan of Andrew Teague.
Don't say that right.
He's too old to be picked up now, but very solid.
That's you, Lancaster
good,
fans.
He's made the difference for them.
And his centre-half partner as well, Keel O'Brien.
Well, Keel O'Brien was at Muslin last season. Yeah. He was on contract. I know that a certain manager put 7 days in, found out he was on contract, couldn't afford to buy him, and then made a phone call to another manager who actually has picked him up. And for me, he, alongside the two FC United centre halves, which they have been tremendous, they've been picked up this year already. He is absolute top draw, that lad. Yeah, Keel O'Brien is absolute top draw.
Deserves where he is.
It helps him having such a good quality player like Teague next to him. Because Teague, basically, with that moustache he's got, that sort of like 90, I say, boys, it's time to roll the sleeves up and let's get Ballywell out there and do the opposition.
I think that match against FC United, where they were down to 10 men, demonstrated just how good Charlie are defensively.
Yeah. Oh, the
defensive
line.
That whole back line was just super.
Tremendous.
Well, the league's decided to play a 4-3-3 formation, which I suppose is controversial. In midfield, we've got Bradley Barnes of AFC Fylde.
We just talk about Bradley Barnes, yes. Ex-Manchester United player. Absolutely top draw.
Brilliant on that Sunday.
Sunday, get the ball, and you know what? He opens his body, he moves the ball. He has a holding player, and when Fylde are unsung, it's because of him, because basically he just sits there and says, you know what, I'll do everything you want, puts the ball. He's like a Tom Baker who's not really figure this year because of his injuries, but without the bite, because Tom Baker's got a tremendous bite. Tom Baker, for me, every season will be my
team. Is Tom Baker coming back next year?
Well, Tom Baker will be hopefully back next year. He's full of injury, but I mean, he's been a tremendous player. But the Bradley Barnes is quality. Manchester United youth team and reserve team player.
Also in midfield, we've got Robbie Dale from Blyth Spartans.
Brilliant choice.
And Matty Chadwick from Ashton United.
I'm surprised at Matt getting in there, to be honest. I'm really pleased that he has, because he's clearly impressed a number of managers, because that's who votes. You know, Matty's come via Radcliffe and Charity in the Counties League. He's a bit of a talent, and when I've seen him, he's and certainly previously when he's at Radcliffe, and that's probably because of different styles of the way they approach the game. He was allowed to drift in and out of games, and he just sort of did bits and pieces. I think at Ashton they've got him under a bit more pressure to produce, to roll his sleeves up and to do a bit more for the side.
A bit of graft about him. Yeah,
so that's fair play to him. He's obviously made some progress.
I know we're not talking first division all, but it's a sort of player we've been sort of missing at Radcliffe this year, a Chadwick.
I think you've been missing more than that kind of player.
Yeah, we have been, but...
Oh, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Forward line... there's only one surprise really about Tom Greaves, but you can see the three players who are in there: Gavin Allett from Fricklow Athletic, Dan Maguire from Blyth Spartans, and Liam Metton from Worksop Town.
Well, Dan Maguire, very good player, runs the line well, niggly, small, gets into your ribs, about like David Speedy type. You know, he's hard work. I mean, FC United nullified him superbly well up at Blyth, but you can see why he's in the team. Gavin Allott, I think Gavin is in there for his early season performances more than anything. He got injured for a little while as well, but I mean, the guy is top quality. I mean, the last three seasons against FC United, he's kept Frickley in the game himself with goals, his tenacity, his quality, and he is a good player. I would expect him to be picked up by somebody else next season. I mean, he was on contract and he got a bit. He has been injury prone on occasions, but I can see if he's fit, a club will come in from next season. Because in all fairness, a talent like that, and no disrespect to Frickley, because where they are, I mean in the league, not where they are geographically, he should be playing at a higher level and a better team.
The same conversation about him last month.
We did. Yeah.
About maybe a big fish in a smaller pond, because he has tended to stick it out there, hasn't he? And I'm sure he's had some offers.
I mean, Tom Greaves isn't in the list, but I think that's... And there's no FC United players in the list, but I think that's purely because it was done in January. And as we alluded to in the first part of the show, FC United are pointless before January.
Exactly.
I need to say something. It's the managers that have voted for this one. Nothing else. It's the managers of the league.
Let's go to the Facebook group with washing your hands of all responsibility.
He's dead right. I mean, until January, FC United really were... They were sort of like, they were like a gremlin, you know, when you've not poured the water on it by mistake, you know, you've kept it in its nice little nestling away, nice and cosy. They pour some water, it goes a bit mad.
Keep
and also wallop.
you are still studying at Metaphor School, aren't you? Keep at it, it'll be fine, it'll work out. But Gremlins?
Yes.
Right.
Cuddly, cute, but all of a sudden you put water on.
No, that's Mogwai's.
So you have an argument about, actually, the fact whether it's a Mogwai or... and all that kind of stuff.
MPL Facebook group fans play of the year.
See, that's what I'm saying.
MPL Facebook group fans player of the year.
Do you want to announce it as I did on a night? Or?
Went to someone called Stephen Thompson.
Yes, it did.
Oh, was it John?
Well deserved.
Thanks, John. You're listening over, Nico. Right, okay, right, so.
That's no good. We're not going to get any coverage of that, are we? Up in the northeast of England.
Runner-up was Tom Greaves, along with Worksop Towns. They met some good vote this year. You thought it was well handled?
Very, very close vote, definitely. I'm going to say that much.
Good.
Especially with a public vote as well. It came down to that last couple of votes, especially between the top two. So, there's, other than the person who voted 900 times under the same IP, but I won't mention that.
Stephen Thompson. I mean, in fairness, I mean, those three players, I mean, John may have his different opinions, although he did put him in his... John, to his credit, put him in his team of the year. So, therefore, those three players, I think any of us would have him in there. I mean, Metton is top quality. I mean, he's ably assisted by a man of about 6'9", in Tom Denton there. I think Tom... I mean, for me, Tom Greaves has been tremendous this season because he's... He scored 35 goals from open play.
Are we in danger of hyping him up to a point he gets taken next season?
No, he's going nowhere.
Good.
He's
and a special mention as well to Mosley's Caffield, who won Supporter of the Year after your video that you made, which was, epic.
It was an interesting experience.
Do you advertise the coffee company? Who?
It's called... It Blows Your Mind Coffee. in fairness, I mean, Kath's 81 years of age. She's been following her team, Mosley now for
Mosley Athletic.
I thought it was Doncaster. No, following Mosley since she was age 7. I think a grandmother took her to the game from age of 7, and lovely lady, and I think it was really fitting that Joe Royal presented with the trophy as well, because she's a Manchester City fan as well. And but she did say to us, obviously, the reason why I don't go there because football is not what it was. It's too expensive for people, and Mosley is her life, and her and her daughter, Elaine, tremendous. I'm so pleased that they won it.
I've obviously been at Mosley for a while, and I know Kath very well, and Elaine, and it is lovely that she's been recognised. And she's always there. It's not like an infrequent visit that she does.
She's home and away.
Never misses. And it's fantastic, that somebody gets recognised.
Well, I mean, you spoke to her on that as well. But speaking to her afterwards, when there was no microphones or anything else, she does generally feel she was... She didn't stop crying on that after she won the award as well. So that
shows talking to you.
Possibly. But even then,
well, let's not forget also she's had two serious illnesses as well, and she's still there watching, and she does go home and away. And it's testament to someone of 81 years of age, daughter and mother going there to watch, and with the dog. The other dog with the blue collar, the little West Island Terrier there. But I was so pleased that she won that.
I would say she just never thought she was going to win it. When she got there and she saw that people had been come from Norway and and travelled the country for the team, she just genuinely did not believe that she was going to win it. And I was there when she rang her grandson afterwards, and obviously she got quite emotional, and it means a lot. Obviously she deserves the credit for the support she gives to her team, and it rightly means a lot to her.
And on that note, that's the end of part two. You're right, Swampy.
Yeah, I'm just going to check it. Yeah,
okay.
It's okay. Thanks,
okay,
yeah.
Take the edge off it. Yeah.
Cheers.
Up next are some interviews which Aaron and James compiled during the award ceremony in Barnsley a couple of weeks back. Aaron did the interviews from the MPL award ceremony night.
Sober.
And they'll be coming up very shortly. So we'll be back for part three in a minute or two.
Right, so I'm now here with the winner of almost a lifetime achievement award, Mr. John Reid, currently manager of Ossett Town. John, first of all, well done on your award.
Thank you.
What does it mean to kind of be recognised for kind of such a great career in non-league football?
Yeah, I'm really honoured about it, and obviously only 2 years ago I got the lifetime achievement award for the non-league as well up in London with the non-league paper. So this more or less just gives me, you know, the final curtain, as I can say. So I'm really chuffed, you know. But there's a lot of people who deserve some of that credit, you know, people like Clive Freeman, who's been my assistant for 9 years, and a brilliant wife who's been we've been together, in fact 40 years next year, is how long we've been married. So to say this is my 35th season in football, it's fantastic. But I'm just as keen now as the day I took over back in blip years, when I was 28 years old, I took over as a player manager. Yeah. And I can remember it as if, like it was yesterday, you know. I started my career as Denby United player manager, and now my first game were against Thorn Colliery, and we won 3-1, so at least I'm keeping my faculties as well.
You've very recently taken over as Ossett Town manager. I mean, yeah, this incredible career of yours, yeah, of achievements, I mean, it's just going to carry on. I mean, is there no sign of stopping at the moment for you?
No, not at all. You know, I'm 62 years of age, and you know, touch wood, I've got everything in my favour. I'm reasonably fit, as I say. I've got all my scruples, so you know, I'd like to think there's at least another 10 years in me. You know, because it keeps me young. You know, as I say, I've got the full support of a fantastic wife, so you know, why not? I enjoy it that much. I'm just as enthusiastic now as I ever have been. So
brilliant. I say, I mean, you've had some real kind of big jobs in non-league, the likes of Stalybridge.
Yeah,
I mean,
massive.
And then recently you came down back to Goole. You've been at Buxton. I mean, I say now Ossett Town. I mean, what's the ambition with Ossett Town now as well? I mean, Ossett are a club that's recently come down to Division 1 North, but with big ambitions. I mean, is Ossett a club that you really feel can progress on in the future?
Yeah, it is, because obviously, you know, as I say, when I left, I had the first 3 months at Scarborough this year as an assistant to Rudy, and things didn't quite work out, so I went back scouting. So I do a bit of scouting for Bradford City in the non-league 18 to 25s, and so, you know, at this moment in time, Ossett Town came along. I'd already been offered about 4 jobs after leaving Scarborough, which I turned down. But when the Ossett Town came up, I just thought, for me, it's a sleeping giant. I was so thrilled after meeting the chairman, James Rogers, and his board, who were all massively younger than me, which is a strange one, because you usually go for interviews for football, and not that I've had that many. Like I said, I've only had about 7 or 8 clubs in my whole life, and you usually go into these boardrooms and they're all full of old fogies. But this is where a young board full of ideas, you know, straight away, I didn't take any time in accepting the job. And our ambitions now is, hopefully, you know, next year, we're 8th in the table at the moment, which is a fantastic achievement for them. And next year we'd like to think, could we get at least 3 more spots up and be in the playoffs? And, you know, anything can happen in the playoffs, as I found out at Buxton, you know, because we got to the playoff final and probably got beat by probably one of the best teams ever coming. Evo Stick in Gateshead, they were fantastic.
I'm here now with the Evo Stick League Supporter of the Year, Kath Field. Kath, how pleased are you to win the award?
Howard's. Double struck. Yeah, I was. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I say, we've all kind of such the high calibre of kind of other supporters that were there. I mean,
yes,
you must have been totally surprised when.
I was. There were 4 more in front of me, and then me, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that? I mean, when did you find out that you got kind of nominated for the award?
Yeah, all about when they were 10 down. They were 10
in the final 10.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
And then it was down to 5. And
I mean, I'll drag Elaine. I'd say for those listening, Elaine is the daughter of Kath. Elaine, how pleased are you for your mum?
Oh, really pleased and very proud. What my mum's done for Mossley Football Club for 70 odd years. It's just that every football club needs volunteers. They're just worth their weight in gold. And every team, no matter what you give, an hour or, you know, it all helps. They really do need people to be in the clubs to help.
How pleased are you to have won the award? I mean, especially being involved for so long at Mosley, is it?
Well, I'm just a big thing, you know.
Yeah. Proud, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm very proud, very yeah. proud.
Proud to do and it for the club.
Everybody
well.
At Mossley, and they all said, well done, and
yeah.
that's it.
Yeah. We're all really, really proud of you. And as I say, around the Curzon table, we were all very much rooting you on. There's a bit of local pride there with us as well. So,
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
You thoroughly deserve it. Well done.
Thank you very much.
I'm here now with Jordan Johnson, the winner of the Evo Stick Division 1 South Player of the Season. I mean, first of all, congratulations, Jordan.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I mean, how much does it mean to you to be recognised by kind of everyone at the league as kind of for your outstanding contribution to the league through the season?
It means a lot, yeah. Very pleased, very overwhelmed. Didn't expect to win this award at all, but it's not just down to myself. It's down to the team that I play with, down to the management that select me. Every week we've got a great side down at League Town. We've got strength and depth, and you know it's difficult to get into the starting 11 every week. So, you know, I owe this award to my teammates and my manager as well. It's not just my own performances throughout the season.
I mean, obviously, League have been at the top of the table pretty much right the way through the season. I mean, what has been really behind kind of the massive success of League Town through this season?
I think, to be honest, the management team again, you know, they built a great side at the start of the season, a lot of quality throughout the side, signed a few players who have really improved the ability within the side, and I think the dressing room is superb, you know, all the lads get on really well, we've got great togetherness within the side, and I think that's key at this level as well, and you know, we've got some great individual performance, but as a team, you know, we work for each other, we're determined to win every game, and I think that's one of the reasons why we have had such a successful season. Just hope that we can maintain it now for the remainder, try and get promotion.
But obviously, I mean, there's a real tough run in there. I mean, there's a lot of great sides, obviously, with Colville and Haleslow in
yeah.
really kind of pushing you for promotion as well. I mean, do you feel Leek have what it's got to kind of go all the way?
I think so, definitely. You know, we believe that we can challenge for promotion. We're in a good position at the moment, and we've got a very tough run in. Scarborough on Saturday, which will be a really tough game. Colville to come at home. We've got a couple of other tough games as well, so it's going to be tough. But I think if you're going to win a title, then it's a long season and it's a tough season, and you have to be the best side throughout the season. And hopefully, if we can win our next five games, then we'll deserve to be promoted to the next league.
Obviously, you're not the only award winner of the league tonight. Obviously, Joe Johnson as well has won an award as well. I mean, is it? I mean, great credit to Leek, the fact that you're kind of being credited throughout the team, not just obviously just individuals.
Yeah, JJ's been outstanding for us this season. He really has. He signed for us at the start of the season from Kids Grove, who are in our league as well, and he's been absolutely fantastic throughout the season. He's managed to secure a full-time contract with Crew Alex. So he's a full-time pro now. He's been loaned back out to us until the end of the season, which is a huge bonus for us. And he's been absolutely superb, you know, particularly during the week where we didn't really play as well as we can do against Sutton Coldfield, and he scored a hat-trick. We won the game 3-2, which is a huge 3 points for us. So, you know, he deserves all the plaudits that he's getting. He's been fantastic for us.
Welcome back to the MPL show, part three of the MPL show. And round the table, we've got Swampy from SDM Radio.
Good evening.
We've got Aaron Flanagan from the Evening News.
Evening.
We've got John Flanagan from Curzon Ashton fame. Oh,
hello again.
We've got James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, which hello. You can get in contact with on
facebook.com/groups/the MPL or on Twitter @the MPL group.
Bang. And people have been getting in touch tonight.
Yes, we have. The question I asked tonight is, because it's, as the FC United lot put in, our April, basically, who's been the overachievers and underperformers for this season? Quite a lot of comments on this one tonight, actually. Oliver Newell, who's a Curzon Ashton fan, saying Bamby Bridge have been on brilliantly this year, and I think anyone expects either Darlington or Warrington to win a league. Andrew Snaith, who's a Whitby Town fan, if you don't win the league, Fylde have underperformed, but you would have to say Ashton are the overperformers. Richard Nelson, saying from Worksop, start the season with a budget cut, wouldn't have expected Worksop Town in the bottom half, wouldn't have dreamed of third or fourth. Tom Snee, go on Tom, Ashton are definitely the overachievers for the season. Rob Clark, Warrington Town fan, who you just had an interview with as well, Warrington have done better than I expected, thought they'd struggle and finish outside the top six. Northwich Victoria being the team to underperform. Lloyd, quite a few comments there. One from Andrew Dixon, who's a Scarborough fan. Division 1 South, Romulus have done well and they wouldn't have predicted Mickle over to make the playoffs. And then from good old Stamper as well,
Thanks for the beer.
Yep, thank you for the beer very much.
The only one.
The winner of the...
the winner, yeah, the winner of the beer from another ground this season.
Stamford have done well to stay up this year. Hopefully moving to the new ground next year will be an absolute omen. But I've got one here from someone who's sat next to me as well, Mr. Aaron Flanagan, saying in the Premier League, Skelmersdale have done far better than expected. Underachievers have been Drolsden.
You can argue that they haven't underachieved.
I say that purely because of what Dave Pace said at the start of the season. Dave Pace said at the start of the season he was setting up his team to win the league.
Does he say that every year, though, doesn't he?
He probably does, but for me, if that's his expectation, he has underachieved.
You're right, though. 6 points for any team in a league is underachieving.
I was dead surprised I was the only one to put on there that Drolsden have underachieved.
Has anybody ever got 6 points before?
Durham must have been class, surely.
Durham, I think. Durham.
Oh, they lost six points.
They beat FC United.
And they lost 6 points.
But the also thing is, I mean, it's interesting that you've, like, Tameside itself has underperformed in a huge way this season, with Hyde being relegated, Drolsden being relegated. However, mm-hmm. with Ashton, and obviously with Curzon, it's rebalanced it. And you wouldn't have, in all fairness, thought it would be that way.
Still
in a lot of ways.
Let's
what happens with Stanley Bridge as well. The Dukes and Cup will be brilliant next year.
Let's start with at the top of Division 1 North. Congratulations to John Flanagan.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
What's it been like then this season? Because you've been behind a lot with the games, and it's been hard to judge where Curzon and Ashton were going to finish. But in the last month, you've just blown them all away, really, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. It's been the season's absolutely flown by. And I don't know whether that's off the back of us just getting good results. I don't know at all whether it was the weather, but we're having continuous real big breaks in there. It just seems to have, you know, started and finished like the blink of an eye. But it's been really enjoyable, you know, when you've got a good bunch of lads, and to win a league you have to have a good bunch of lads. You can't just do it unless you've got a really big budget where you can just bring quality in. In most cases, it's got to be a combination of good quality and getting value for money out of your budget, and a good unit of lads. And we've got a combination of things there. We've got a belting set of lads, and it's been really, really enjoyable. You know, so thankfully the clubs really backed me in terms of, you know, they've never asked any questions, to be fair. They just let me get on with it and make my own choices. And fortunately, this time they've been good ones.
And for next season, or you've not even thought that far ahead yet?
No, I've been thinking about next season for some weeks, to be honest with you. And you know, we do need to plan a bit more. And we've got to. I think the nucleus of the side will stay the same. I think we've got enough about us to go in there and do okay. I think I'd probably look to sign 3 or 4 players, maybe some players with a bit of Premier experience. I think it's very, very important that we secure the back four and the keeper. I think that's key to doing well in that division. He's making sure you don't concede too many. Well, saying that, Worksop didn't need too much, did they? So that blows my plans out of the water, you know.
But congratulations to Curzon Ashton. First Division North Team of the Year, Matthew Warburton's in it.
Quite rightly, tremendous.
We'll start at the back, but not too much of a word on it, because we've got Division 1 South as well at some point. Goalkeeper Grant Shenton from Ramsbottom United.
Good choice.
Right back.
Good choice.
Right back, Aaron Hardy from Farnsley.
Yeah, very good player. Yeah.
And he's joined by left back Ryan Surrant.
Surrant.
That makes more sense. Ryan Surrant from Farnsley. They got good fullbacks then, I take it.
Well, personally, I voted for the right back. He's a very talented lad. He's an ex-Geisley lad. Played at a higher level. He's just very, very comfortable on the ball. He's good. Ryan Surrant's been there for a few years at Farnsley. He's never really caught my eye, to be fair. He's steady. he's steady, but you know, he's not. I didn't vote for him. No, he didn't do. He's not done enough to me. I'm surprised he
didn't. Don't stand at some controversy.
No,
centre back, we've got Craig Robinson from Warrington Town. Alan White from 1883.
He was one of mine.
Yeah.
In midfield, we've got Gary Stopforth of Ramsbottom United.
Brilliant choice. Good player.
Very good. Sam Walker from Curzon Ashton.
He's not bad.
Bill Dean from Ramsbottom United.
Again, another big choice, to be honest.
And up front, we've got Alistair Wadikar from Bamber Bridge.
Very good.
Stephen Thompson from Darling 1883.
Not bad. And
Matthew Warburton from Curzon Ashton. Just to cover
up. It's a good team.
First Division North Player of the Year went to Stephen Thompson, who's not a bad player, apparently. Playoff picture in Division 1 North is looking pretty settled for Darlington 1883 and Warrington Town. Bit of question mark between Bamber Bridge, Farsley, Ramsbottom United and Lancaster City.
And Farsley.
But that gives us something to talk about in the end of season NPL show coming up in a couple of weeks' time.
I'm going to say Farsley's running is not the best, obviously, because they played Ramsbottom and Curzon recently and they both lost to him. Other than that, I think Bamber have got the best of the situations, especially with Northwich Vicks, the result last night as well, going in their favour.
I think Bamber are going to get in there. No problem. I think it's between. I don't think Lancaster will do it now. I think it's between Ramsbottom and Farsley. I think if Darlington beat, I think Ramsbottom need Darlington to beat Farsley on Saturday. If they do that, I think Rammy need 7 points.
Right.
Out of their games, yeah. which means a draw and two wins, and I think it'll get to the last game where Bamber Bridge, and they're at Ramsbottom on the last day. Bamber Bridge.
The big result the other night though was New Mills versus Lancaster, wasn't it? I mean, Lancaster getting beat by New Mills.
Well, Lancaster's last game of the season is Curzon Ashton.
Yeah, but I mean Lancaster game. I mean, Lancaster's been beaten. I'm sorry, talking about the playoff situation at this moment in time. But, I mean, I know since Curzon have won the league, they've been drinking champagne like Leicester, and haven't won a game. However. Lancaster getting beaten at New Mills 2-1. It was a huge result for New Mills, and equally that could have dented Lancaster's promotion hopes. For me, I think the teams that are in there, Ramsbottom may sneak in there, but I've got a feeling that the top five there will stay there.
I mean, you've got to remember Ramsbottom as well, with how close it is, they have had 3 points deducted as well, and you've got to. I mean, everyone said at the time that could be very, very costly, and it is proving.
Yeah.
That, I mean, 3 points at this stage of the season would almost see us talking about Ramsbottom as they're in there, they're in the playoffs. But it's amazing what the little errors can do to you through the season.
What was that based on, if you just remind us?
They played an ineligible player in a game against Camelair,
that's right, yeah. And is it very interesting that Sunderland did, is that the same thing?
Just a fine.
Just a fine, yeah. And yet.
I think they played five games, though.
However, we're still waiting on an outcome on a certain event as well.
Well, that's very important that you should say that as well, because that event, which involves Ramsbottom and Lancaster City.
And Radcliffe Borough.
But I don't think Radcliffe could be deducted at any points. I don't think it's not Radcliffe's fault. But the other two, maybe. There may be points deducted there. There may be some form of.
I can't see it.
I think the league will probably. Maybe there may be a financial fine more than anything else there.
Can I just make
a quick final point there? Ramsbottom have got the best goal difference in amongst all of that, so I believe that.
I think
they might just get in on goal difference with Farsley there.
They've been scoring for a half, haven't they?
I think Darlington will probably beat Farsley on Saturday. I think Bamber Bridge last game of the season will already be in, and I think Rammy will need to win to get the points to do it, and I think that it'll come to that last game. I think
Division 1 South is looking Division 1 South is looking rather tighter than Division 1 North for the title.
Because of the games
played situation in Division 1 South, at time of recording it's pretty hard to predict where everyone's falling, but it's a three horse race, it would appear, between Leek Town, Colville Town and Hales Owen Town. All the towns are there. James, I'm coming to you first. Your thoughts?
Looking at the rulings once again, I think Colville, especially with this Saturday as well, because let's preview it now.
On Saturday, the 19th of April, it's Leek Town against Colville Town. Well, that is a hell of a game.
Losers are out on that one, I think. And in the end, even then, because his second place up for grabs, I can see the losers of that game are going to lose not only the title, but the home advantage in the playoffs as well.
Well, Leek have let themselves down on a couple of occasions in recent games, a couple of draws, and but I still think Leek have got the quality in that team. They've got a couple of players in the Southern Team of the Year. They can score goals. 80 goals so far this season. Colville have scored 97 in fairness, so it'd be a great game. If you're neutral and you want to go watch a game of football this weekend in the Southern Division, you go to that game. That is probably the game of the weekend, really. And
just to say though, Hales Owen, they've got two games left. At this point in time, would you rather be in Hales Owen's position where you've got the points on the board with two games left, or would you rather be where Leek Town are playing catch up?
Thing is, Hales Owen have only got away games left now. That's it.
And Hales Owen have got an interesting last game of the season. They're playing Belper Town.